Hello and welcome back to the season two of the Product Marketing AI podcast. I'm joined by Jill Robertson. She's one of the select few PMMs that I've encountered that has made the transition from PMM leadership to VP of digital marketing. She's now the VP of digital marketing at Valeer. She's not only a trailblazer in the content space, but she's also a former colleague of mine, and I can't wait to discuss that career path with her and, of course, her favorite product marketing tech. Jill, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. Excited to be here.
Before we get into the agenda today, I do want to talk about my friends over at Riverside.fm. It's where I record all of these podcasts, create short clips, fix transcriptions, and the new features have allowed me to reduce the time it takes to publish each episode. One feature I've really been loving is the Magic Clips Editor. It analyzes the show and automatically suggests the best clips to create for promotion on social. This saves me a ton of time trawling through the transcript, the recording, and for a non-video editor specialist like myself, it's a great way to give snippets of the podcast content to my audience before they get to listen to the full episode. I'm sure there'll be plenty of clippable moments from my chat with Jill today, and I'm delighted to be partnering with them for this season. Visit riverside.fm using the code productmarketingai. You'll get an exclusive 20% discount off any Riverside individual plan. You can start for free by clicking on the link in the show notes and use productmarketingai when you're ready. All right, Jill, give me the three most time-intensive elements of your job as a VP of digital marketing and how you outsource or automate some or all of this work.
Sure. So yeah, in terms of my position as VP of digital marketing, I really oversee two teams, right? So I oversee both Valeer's internal marketing team and then our client-facing digital marketing team. And so I think a lot of the more cumbersome kind of time-intensive elements come from the marketing side. First, I would say is really, of course, content creation, right? Whenever we're thinking about a campaign and thought leadership, just the sheer volume of content that needs to be created is a lot, right? To support the campaigns throughout the year, to make sure they're consistent, they're thematic and things like that. And I'm sure along with a lot of other people, I've started using ChatGPT at least to help myself start brainstorming, right? To figure out what are the 3 to 5 points I want to highlight. What are some of the statistics I can pull from? And so that's really helped kind of streamline a lot of that content creation for me, because it is so time intensive when you think about all the content that needs to be created. I'd say the second is around just campaign planning and organization, right? So that content naturally falls into kind of different campaign themes and buckets. And so really trying to think strategically about how we organize that. It's very time intensive in terms of making sure everything's aligned. And so using different tools to just keep track of that stuff. We leverage Airtable to manage a bunch of our different tasks, and then working with the marketing leads on my team to kind of get all of that stuff together. So sort of outsourcing that to them and having them, once we have the campaign buckets, really start to manage what's going into what campaign. But we do see a lot of automation when it comes to the email flows around that, because we do want to tailor the campaigns to what people are consuming, right? So if we're sending an email and sharing a blog to a particular segment based on their interaction with it, we want to move them into different flows and guide them through their journeys. And really using the flows within Pardot and being able to automate that has really saved us a lot of time, and then gets us to kind of further and deeper segmentation. And then I would say the third thing is tracking and reporting. And I'll be honest, this is one where we're still trying to figure out some of that automation of it. We're definitely building pretty robust reports within Salesforce so that we can have that connection around marketing qualified leads to sales qualified leads.
I think you've given a really nice overview there, and it kind of leads me to my next question, which is, you covered three areas, which is ideation, campaign overviews, and those things around tracking and analytics. And all of those three things really feed into the position that you're in right now, which is VP of digital marketing, and that ownership across those three areas. But you started your career in product marketing and you've got to this point. I'm familiar with your career path, having been a former colleague at Sitecore. But tell me a little bit about your career path and how you've used the skills that you've learned over those periods in product marketing and parlayed those into a senior role right now.
Sure. Yeah. So even before I started as a product marketer at Sitecore, where we worked together, before that, I was on the agency side working as a strategist, right? So I've really kind of built my career being client facing and really understanding what do clients or prospective customers need to hear, what challenges are they trying to solve for. So after kind of years in the agency space, working across different marketing technologies and being heavily involved in the Sitecore community, I was looking at some of the marketing that was out there, and it dawned on me that I thought I could tell that story, right, and really help resonate with different audiences. So when I joined Sitecore in product marketing, that was my goal, right, to really bring the voice of the customer to the table. People don't wake up one morning and go to Google and they're like, I need an enterprise CMS, right? That's not the challenge that they're trying to solve. Ultimately, what they're trying to solve for are challenges with managing content, being able to keep a website fresh, for example, or challenges with driving conversions or delivering personalization. And so I think I really brought kind of that customer-centric approach, where the marketing materials and being a product marketer wasn't about the features and functionality, right? But more so the challenges and problems that they could solve. And so after working at Sitecore for a number of years, I was presented with an opportunity to kind of go back to the agency side, but still bring that lens, right? Because when you're agency side, it's really about taking a look at, let's say, an RFP that comes in where somebody wants to redesign their website and they have these criteria that they have about what the content management system or the digital experience platform should do. But ultimately, you really want to peel back the covers and get to the root of the problem. And so I think that customer centricity and focus that I had at Sitecore as a product marketer and then bringing that over to where I am now at Vlear has been really helpful, because it's not just about solving for one problem or the direct ask, right? It's really about uncovering what's the root of the challenge and then what's the solution that you can build around that. And a lot of that's, of course, enabled by technology, but it's also other parts of the process that need to be updated. It's thinking about upstream content systems and things like that, and really trying to bring different approaches to the table. And so it's been really interesting to start agency side, go into the product marketing, and then come back agency side.
Yeah, I think what you've outlined there also speaks to that idea of strategy, methodology, and then the technology when you're actually trying to solve a problem in an enterprise scenario. How has your remit grown from that product marketing space? You obviously outlined a lot of different areas that you cover in the first section, but what are maybe one of those areas that has really challenged you in your skills and things that you've actually developed since you've become the VP of digital marketing at Vlear?
I think there's kind of two things really that where I've grown the most or taken on more and have challenged me in a good way. The first being around that campaign planning, right? When I was a product marketer at Sitecore, the marketing organization would put together the calendar and identify the events, and I would offer to speak and come up with different topics. But there was a pretty defined kind of parameters, right? It's like, oh, we're sponsoring Content Marketing World. We kind of knew what products we wanted to speak to or allude to in those sessions, right? So I was much more just kind of creating the content, not necessarily, the plan. And so moving over to someone kind of who has full control, really trying to think about those campaign themes and putting that calendar together and really trying to predict what's going to be relevant for the next year so that we can make sure everything ladders up to a particular theme. That's definitely been something that's really interesting and definitely has been a challenge. And making sure that, of course, we're going to have some ad hoc content, but the events that we sponsor, the white papers we create, the blog posts, the case studies, right? They're all laddering up to something. And so that's definitely been a really exciting challenge. And also figuring out, again, how we measure that. That's something where that wasn't necessarily my remit as a product marketer. There was someone else kind of reporting on that. So almost taking on a marketing operations role within that. And so that's the first thing. And then the second would be, you know, more on the client facing side of digital marketing. So when I joined Vlear, digital marketing wasn't a department yet. So we have experience strategy and design, but thinking holistically and kind of beyond the website, more of a focus on omnichannel and building that department. One of the things that I've had to do is define the services, right? Net new service areas, and not just saying, hey, okay, we do personalization now as a service, but what does that mean, right? What kind of discovery do we need to have in order to onboard someone into a personalization program? What are the artifacts? What do they look like? How do they vary based on the technology that someone's using? And then how do you get someone into kind of an ongoing relationship? Because personalization, for example, is not something that's just a one and done, right? So you want to engage for 6 to 12 months. You need to have analytics and tracking to see what's working. And then you need to evolve the strategies over time. And how do you define what that service looks like? And so thinking about not just for personalization, but bringing email marketing to Valeer, bringing A/B testing and experimentation programs, also thinking about things like content marketing platform, CMP setup and strategy, DAM strategy, all of those types of things were services that we didn't offer before, but was a need that we saw for our clients. And so that's definitely something that's expanded in terms of my responsibilities and has been a really exciting challenge, right? Trying to create these things net new. And I'm 1 year into the role. And so as we go into 2024, it's a lot of, you know, looking back at the year, what worked, how do we continue to evolve that? Because those services aren't going to be static, right? As technology changes, as different needs come about, those things are always going to evolve. And so that's definitely been a fun challenge.
Yeah, I think you've really expanded on some of the things there that you've really grown over the past year or so since you've moved into that role. And I think one of the things I want to highlight here for everybody listening to the show is that Jill Live is an absolutely phenomenal presenter. So if you do need somebody to talk about content strategy, anything in the content space, she is has presented at many different content marketing worlds, stages, large, small, and everything in between over the past number of years in her career. So I would say if you're putting together programs for content related events, make sure Jill Robertson is on the list. We're going to take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by Riverside.fm. If you want studio quality recordings and lightning fast editing, get the link in the show notes, click on it, use Product Marketing AI to get 20% off any individual plan. This is a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Product Marketing AI podcast. I'm here with Jill Robertson. She's the VP of Digital Marketing at Valeer. Jill, in the first half, we covered a lot of ground. We covered your career path, some of the kind of new skills that you've learned since you've taken on the VP of Digital Marketing role and elevated your career from senior product marketing leader to VP of Digital Marketing. We're going to talk tools now, which I think is a lot of people's favorite parts of the show. Give me three tools you can't live without as a marketer and why.
The first, it's kind of lame, but it's PowerPoint. I tell people all the time that I think in PowerPoint. I don't know if it's because throughout my career, I've just had to make so many, but there are so many times when I'm trying to conceptualize something and I really want to do it visually. So that's kind of a lame answer, but I do love PowerPoint. I also think recently Miro has become a tool that I've relied on a lot, especially because at least on agency side, we're not doing as many client onsites as we used to, but we have so many types of workshops that we really want to work through in order to kind of extract information, especially in a discovery phase of a project when we're trying to ingrain ourselves into an organization, truly understand the objectives and goals of any project, right? Understand what channels they're on, how they're tracking, where content's being stored, and what that looks like. So Miro's definitely become a great kind of interactive workshopping tool for virtual workshops and things like that. That's really helpful. I would also say, of course, Salesforce. We had talked earlier about just the need, both around campaign planning, but the ability to report on campaigns. And so having that tracking and being able to see contacts go to opportunities and tracking who's a marketing qualified lead and the impact that marketing is having is hugely important. And then I would say lastly, having a digital asset manager has really kind of changed my life. I know we use one at Sitecore, of course, with Content Hub, and then carrying that over to agency side, just the sheer amount of content that's being created and assets that are needed to have these campaigns be successful, having that organized has really made my life easier. It gives clearer direction to the designers that we're working in. We're able to group things and provide different access to different parts of the teams that need it. So that's definitely helped me as a marketer to stay organized, right? And to understand what I have at my fingertips as we're thinking about campaigns and being able to either reuse things or repurpose them and stuff like that.
Yeah, some really interesting answers there. I think PowerPoint is a key skill for any product marketer, even in 2024, as generative AI kicks off with probably more verbal and visual aids. And I think that's going to kick into to PowerPoint, but you still need to be able to create ideas and stories in PowerPoint based on your internal processes and things that are happening in the business. I think that's so key. Can we delve into a little bit more on the Salesforce one? Because you talked about some of the kind of campaign reporting aspects of it. Mm-hmm. Is it in that kind of Pardot marketing cloud world that you utilize on a day-to-day basis?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, we're doing so much in Pardot for all of our emails. When I started, our email program wasn't very robust, and we have around different events, we're able to send off the appropriate emails, drive engagement, reminders, post-event engagement, things like that, and also using the reporting from that, as well as, of course, leveraging it for further segmentation.
Love it. We always like to have a little bit of yin and yang on the podcast. Yep. Have you got one tool that you hate or even dislike if we want to soften it slightly?
Sure. I'll give you two answers. First, I would say anything that's not integrated. Right. I think we're in this world of composable and you have best of breed solutions. And one of the most challenging things for me is just keeping track of where everything is. If that's not clearly defined or if they're not integrated, it starts to make different workflows kind of choppy. And then you're spending time looking for things, right? Or figuring out what's the right place to put it, or even duplicating efforts where things might be stored in multiple locations. And so that to me, kind of in general, I just hate any tool that's not integrated well into kind of the workflow and the process. More specifically, I wouldn't say hate, and this also could have been due to lack of onboarding for me, but in a different role, I had used Workfront for some task management. And I don't know if I just wasn't onboarded correctly. I just found it a little bit clunky in terms of the way that things were tagged, the way that I was getting alerted of different changes, being able to access different files within there. So that was a little bit of a choppy experience, but I'm sure it's a great tool for others. So
yeah, I'm sure. How has technology helped you progress from PMM leader to VP of digital marketing? You obviously have a really good background in MarTech as a whole. Do you think it's helped you progress your career?
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I just love what I do. Kind of fell into it when I was going to school, getting my degree. There weren't any classes, right, on marketing technology. Social media had just become a thing. And so I feel very fortunate to kind of have stumbled upon this whole world that I'm extremely passionate about. And I think one of the things that technology has done is really forced me to stay present and to stay informed. You know, the marketing technology space on the whole is constantly changing. New products, new integrations, the way we think about APIs, the way that we leverage these tools for ourselves. Of course, AI is a great example. And so it's really forced me to just be the consummate learner and being able to understand what technology is out there, of course, how it can help me and my teams, right? Trying to bring new tools to the table to alleviate any challenges that we have, whether it's content creation, reporting, workflows, whatever it may be, but also forcing me to really understand technology on varying levels so that I can communicate that to my clients.
I think the key point of what you outlined there is the constant learning. And that is, I think, a really good takeaway for anybody who's listening to this podcast and looking to get to the next stage of their career, whether that's via AI learning or any type of integrations or tooling that you're studying, just being that constant learner and advocating that across your teams internally, externally, that's the way to go. So I love all of that. Where can people get in touch with you, Jill?
Definitely on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. And then I have a semi-active Twitter. Mostly it's complaints about any sort of delayed flights that I'm on or travel gripes. But of course, email as well, jill.roberson@valeer.com. That's V-E-L-I-R. So yeah, always happy to make connections, kind of geek out about all things product marketing, marketing, digital marketing, you name it. Always happy to connect about it.
Jill, a lot of fun chatting to you today, as always. And have a great 2024. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.